Be assertive. Put yourself out there. Show people what you've got. Climb to the top of the ladder, no matter how many faces you have to step on to get to the top. Get your own way. Fight for what you want. These are common creeds, even common sense for many in the world today. I remember in year 10 being advised, they gave us training for applying for jobs. And they were telling us, you've got to tell them every single good thing about yourself. You've got to completely sell yourself so that you will get the job. Brag on yourself, as it were. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount so far, in the first two Beatitudes, just as Jesus overturned the tables in the temple, so too he has been overturning the expectations of his disciples and of us. He's had them scratching their heads by saying, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And second, by saying, "Blessed are the sad, for they shall be comforted." In the third Beatitude, if anything, things just get more and more counterintuitive. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, the craziness of that statement is somewhat lost on us today, mainly because we don't know what meekness is. When was the last time you heard some popular person in whatever media streams you tune into use the word meekness? I can't remember ever seeing it in a newspaper. But that's what we're here to think about this morning. The kingdom of God belongs to the poor in spirit, to those who come to God with nothing in their hands, needing everything, unable to do anything. And then those who mourn over their sin will be comforted. And now we find that the ones who shall inherit the very earth itself are these people that Jesus calls the meek. We have three things to consider this morning. First, we're going to look at the nature of meekness. Second, the practice of meekness. And third, the blessing of meekness. Now, I must warn you in advance, as we consider the nature of meekness, as Pastor Neil Stewart puts it, and if you're looking for some good sermons on sermon audio, look up Neil Stewart. He's a great preacher, wonderful encouragement. I encourage you to tune into his sermons and listen. But as Pastor Stewart puts it, not all Christians are equally meek. Now, every true Christian here this morning will be able to see in some measure, even if it's small, some measure of meekness in themselves. But make no mistake, as we look at this, probably most of us will have an overwhelming sense of just how little meekness we really actually have. So I say that as a way of warning to guard against despair. I don't want you to despair, but certainly we will realize just how far short we fall. But rather than being discouraged by that, if you sense your shortfall, take that as an opportunity to go back to the first Beatitude and be convicted about the poorness of spirit that we have. And then you'll come again through the Beatitudes to grow in meekness. And so cast yourself upon Christ. So that's just by way of warning. So what is meekness? That's the first question. Our first point, the nature of meekness. Now, like poverty of spirit and mourning, meekness is something that it's not clothes you buy, it's not something you can purchase, it's a quality of the heart. It's a spiritual reality, in other words. It has to do with the attitude of a person. A person might be bitter in attitude, they might be angry in attitude. Well, meekness is an attitude, an outlook of the heart. Now, let me give you a summary definition of meekness. Meekness is a heart disposition, as we've just been saying, of calm, quiet, gentle submission in the face of adversity. It's a heart disposition of calm, quiet, gentle submission in the face of adversity. Now, that might not mean all that much to you right now, but let me tell you, meekness is not weakness. No, the meek, they are the mighty ones of the earth. Mighty because they live in a state of unmovable submission to God in every situation. Meekness is a rock of the soul. And it brings an unspeakable beauty to the character of those who possess it. As we saw in 1 Peter 3, it's something that's beautiful in the sight of God. Now let's just open this up a little bit more and break down a few of these elements I've given you in this definition. One of the key words in my definition is this word submission. So let's just think about that for a moment. Meekness, and children, please write this on your sermon sheets that you have. Meekness is submission to the will of God. Meekness is submission to the will of God. There was an old English phrase, we don't use it anymore, maybe farmers still do, but it had to do with the training of horses. And when you get a mighty young stallion, even a war horse, it was said that you need to meek the horse. And what that means is you get this stallion, this powerful animal, and I'm sure you've probably at least seen it in movies. That's the only place I can really connect with this image. But you see the horse and it's bucking its rider and it will not be submitted. It rebels and it fights. And you see them in the ring and it's constantly jumping around and it's just this rebellious, willful horse. And so they used to say, well, you need to meek the horse. And what that means is that you bring the horse and you train it into such a state that it's actually completely submissive to the directions of the rider. No longer is it fighting and bucking and resisting. It's still a mighty stallion, of course, but now it follows meekly the will of the rider. Even the slightest direction from the rider, and the horse is now sensitive to it and will follow completely the directions without resistance. And so it was said, you meek the horse. Well, let me say, when it comes to us and God, you need to meek the heart. And that's what God does. It means to be brought into submission to the will of God. And so the meek are not self-assertive people. You remember, you see the example of Moses, didn't you? He's reviled by his brother and sister. Now, the natural response to this is, oh, who does Aaron think he is? All I've done for Aaron and Miriam, betrayed by my brother and sister, I will go and show them what for. No, Moses was meek in the face of that. He was submitting to God. It's another way of saying we're to deny ourselves and take up our cross. And Paul speaks about this in Romans 13 when he says love does not seek its own. It's not self-willed. It does not exert itself to pursue its own will and desires, but is rather given over to the will of God. And of course, we're going to see again and again, Jesus is the supreme and perfect example of meekness. Not my will, but yours be done, said the Lord Jesus. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a prayer. That's actually the prayer of meekness. God resists the proud, but he gives the earth to the meek, to such people as have submitted themselves to him. So meekness is submission to God. Secondly, meekness is quiet and calm. Meekness is quiet and calm. In the words of the Puritan Thomas Watson, meekness is a God-given grace whereby we are enabled to moderate our angry passions. The concept of meekness appears many times in Scripture. But again, the precise words of this beatitude, this word for meek, is used only four times in the Greek New Testament. Three times in Matthew's gospel, and one time, as we read before, in Peter's first epistle. And that's why I chose for us to read from 1 Peter. In fact, let's turn to our passage again, and I'll point out exactly where we find this word. It's the same word in 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, when it's speaking specifically of wives. And Peter says, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That word gentle that the ESV renders is exactly the same word in the Greek as the one Jesus uses in the first beatitude. And so the portrait he makes is this, as Peter makes this portrait of the virtuous wife, is a portrait of meekness. And I, again, I think we see the submission of slaves to their owners and submission of citizens to their governing authorities, and then likewise the husbands, and finally all of you. This is an entire exposition of meekness in Peter's epistle that we see here. And so this is meekness. It is quiet and calm. Be subject, be submissive. And of course, in the middle of that passage in Peter, we have that supreme example of Christ, don't we? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He was rather led as a lamb to the slaughter. That is meekness, this quiet, submissive disposition of the heart. Calm, quiet submission to God in the face of suffering. That's meekness. And finally, and thirdly here, we see meekness is gentle. Meekness is gentle. One of the other four uses of this word in the Greek New Testament is found in Matthew 11 and 29. And I'm sure as soon as I say it, many of you will recognize it. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls." That word again, gentle, the ESV renders, is our word, meek. To those who labor and are heavy laden, Christ gives them rest. He is gentle, he is meek, he is lowly, he is kind, he is tender. Wasn't Moses so tender in response to Miriam? After she scorned him, he said, "Lord, please, restore her, please." You can hear the tender pleading of his heart. This is a gentleness. And so it said of the Lord Jesus, he will not break a bruised reed. He will not quench a smoking flax. The meek treat other people, particularly in speech, with a tender, gentle disposition. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. That's meekness in Proverbs 15, verse 4. It's the meekness that Christ perfectly embodies and gives to us. So we have a clear picture in our minds now of what this thing called meekness actually is. Now the world expects that we will hustle and bustle our way to the top. My way or the highway, says the world. It's the opposite of meekness. No, Christ says, "Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who do not assert their own rights, but rather submit to God's will with a gentle and quiet spirit, for they shall inherit the earth." It's the upside-down kingdom. Now again, before we move on, let me just quickly lay out an application here, and I borrowed this from another pastor I know of, and the application is this. Look for meekness in office bearers. When you're putting forward nominations, and probably at some point in the coming months we'll have a call for nominations, as you're thinking about who to nominate, look for meekness. Because if meekness is lacking in the leadership of a church, it is a recipe for disaster. If meekness is thriving in a church, especially among its elders, that is a recipe for glorious, joyful, Christ-exalting harmony. You can't really rile up a meek person. There's no insult you can give them that will provoke them. And if everyone's meek, there will be this harmony. So if you don't detect meekness in a man, don't nominate him for office. Now let's move to our second point. Second point, the practice of meekness. The practice of meekness. We've unpacked the central qualities of meekness in our sermon, first sermon point. Now let's consider the practice of meekness. And my intention under this second point is for us to consider, well, what does this actually look like in real life? What are we expecting to see in concrete terms? What will a meek person be like? And of course, also to help us to prayerfully pursue this quality. And Christ is perfect in meekness. And of course, the journey of the Christian life, we're going to be finding there's this sinful pride within us constantly butting heads with the pursuit of meekness. So this is going to be a journey. And again, this is the encouragement I'm seeking to give you. When you find the opposite traits of meekness in your heart, don't simply say, woe is me, I'm not a Christian. Say, God is great and he is perfecting me in Christ. And so this is a journey. Now, the practice of meekness. Let me lay out five examples of what the practice of meekness will look like. First, the meek submit to hard providences. The meek submit to hard providences. Submission is at the heartbeat of meekness. And this includes submission to the providential ordering of our lives by God, including the hard things, the crosses. Which is why when you suffer unjustly, bear it graciously and quietly. For to this you have been called, he says. There's no Christian who gets a let off from hard providences. Christ suffered for us the path of the cross, leaving you an example, as Peter says, so that you might follow in his footsteps. So the meek submit to hard providences. And so when we are complaining about our situations, when we are bitter about things that have been passed in our lives, when we are finding ourselves frustrated with the way things are, we just got to do something about this. When we find ourselves quarreling, these things exhibit the opposite of meekness. When Job's house and children were lost to him, you remember his words, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was a spirit of meekness in Job. When Eli told Samuel to tell him what God had said, and Samuel told Eli that God would judge his sons for their sin, Eli's response was, it is the Lord. Let him do what is right in his sight. That's meekness. Willing submission to the will of God. When you get a flat tire, how do you respond? Bang. I've got to be somewhere in 5 minutes, and here I am on the side of the road with a flat tire. What are you going to do? How do you respond to hard providences? We saw it in our studies of Amos last Sunday night. Is there a disaster in the city and the Lord has not done it? No, the Lord sovereignly ordains whatsoever comes to pass. Now the meek calmly submit to difficult providences. When things go wrong, they meditate silently and consider, what is the Lord doing in this trial? What is God teaching me by allowing me to become sick or injured? How is God seeking to conform me to his character by allowing me to be persecuted by my workmate or my neighbor? What is God seeking to show me by giving me these difficulties in my marriage? How is God seeking to bless me by withholding the gift of marriage from me? Now, don't get me wrong, meekness is not the same thing as being passive. You can try to make changes in the face of difficulties. That's a good and lawful thing to do. But sometimes we can't make that change. But in all things, we need to maintain this spirit of meekness. Now, meekness does not mean we cannot pour out our heart. The suffering comes and it brings trials. And the meekness doesn't just mean, oh, zip it up, bottle it in, don't even talk about it, don't acknowledge it, pretend it's not there. No, that's not meekness. No, the Lord Jesus, as he was saying, your will be done, he sweat great drops of blood in his anguish. And I point you to the Psalms in this. The Psalms will give you the language you need to express your anguish in a godly way. But meekness does maintain this calm submission to God in the face of difficult providences. Secondly, the meek submit to God's word. The meek submit to God's word. As well as submitting to God's will in providence, the meek seek to know the revealed will of God and submit to it, even if it's difficult. Let me give you an example. The world says, when your marriage gets tough, walk away. God's word says, let not man separate what God has joined. Who are you going to listen to in a situation like that? And so Christians will stick at their marriage in submission to God, even when things are tough. The world says, nice guys finish last. Kill or be killed. The Word of God says, do good to those who persecute you. And so Christians, however failingly, will seek to do good, even to those who spitefully use them. We could multiply 10,000 examples from the Word of God, ways in which we're tempted by the world's mantras to disobey. But the Christian, fundamentally, they may stray, they may stumble, they may fall, they may fail, but there will be a steady, plodding direction of submission to the will of God revealed to them. And even if they are ignorant of some sin, as we all are, when they see it in the Word of God, they will say, yes, this is the Word of the Lord. Lord, give me strength to submit. Third, the meek bear injuries calmly. The meek bear injuries calmly. The Puritan, again, Thomas Watson, points out this as being one of the first of three qualities of meekness. Meekness is not easily provoked when things go wrong. Meekness does not get stirred up when things go against it. Meekness is able to suffer long. We sometimes sing that the Lord Jesus was bearing shame and scoffing rude, ridicule, scorn, physical abuse, and yet he was quiet as a lamb, led to the slaughter. The meek bear injuries calmly. Lord, lay this sin not to their charge. How do we respond when we get injured? The answer will be a fair indication of how meek we are. Fourth, the meek forgive injuries willingly. The meek forgive injuries willingly. This is the second of Watson's three qualities. In Ephesians 4 verse 2, we read, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And likewise in Colossians 3 verse 13, we read, bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And so meekness bears an injury calmly, but it positively gives forgiveness as well. And so this idea, we're called to bear with one another in love. Newsflash, Christians are going to be hard to bear with sometimes. Of course we're going to injure each other. Of course we're going to say things and do things that offend each other. That's par for the course in a community of sinners in the process of transformation unto glory. In meekness, however, we are called to bear with one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. And of course, with all humility and gentleness, to forgive one another. And so meekness, having borne an injury in quiet calmness, when forgiveness is then sought, forgives as Christ has forgiven us. That is to say, with an instant and willing heart, with gentleness and kindness, the meek forgive. Watson then takes one step further as the third quality. The meek return good for evil. The meek return good for evil. And here's where the mind explodes. You see, taking vengeance, it's second nature to sin, to take vengeance. Whether it be a verbal barb in response, right up to the killing blow of murder, and everything in between. Vengeance is anathema to meekness. You saw Moses, he did not strike back at Aaron and Miriam. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so the meek instead love their enemies. Isn't that exactly what Moses did? He was patient, he was gracious, and then he prayed for them, for Miriam to be healed. Now, I don't know about you, but I consider those five things. I feel like I've just gone five rounds in the ring with a world-class boxer. Just stop the pain. Okay, I get the picture. I'm not meek enough. And you see this, don't you? We see submit to the governing authorities when they pass overbearing and burdensome laws. Who can suffer such a thing? Submit meekly to my overbearing boss who mistreats me and even scorns me because I'm a Christian? Submit meekly with a gentle and quiet spirit to my oafish husband who mistreats me? live meekly with my rebellious wife whose words are a constant barrage to me? Submit meekly to my incompetent elders who seem to have no idea how to pastor a church? And what does Christ say? Blessed are the meek. Now, brothers and sisters, to the extent that we sense our lack of meekness, confess it to the Lord and ask His forgiveness. Pray for His gracious help to grow in this grace. And give thanks, because however far short we may fall of this, the Lord has shown you who Christ is. And if you are a Christian, if you have come to Christ, that is the very first step of meekness, submission to the will of God. Does not the Lord God say, repent and believe? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The act of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is an act of meekness, of submission to the will of God. And as you cling to Christ in the face of opposition, that is an act of meekness as well. And so maybe you sense a lack of meekness, but praise be to God as you cling to the good confession of who Christ is. And by God's grace, you will see the fruit of meekness growing in your soul as well over time. Give thanks to God for those fruits. Give thanks to God when you see, well, praise be to God, He did give me patience in that situation. Glory to God. Lord, please help me to bear more fruit. And be encouraged, for the Holy Spirit has been sent to be your helper, to continue to grow in the grace of meekness. Now, we turn to our third and final point. Third point, the blessing of meekness. The blessing of meekness. Now, there will be times in the Christian life when this call to meekness quite simply just sticks in your craw. I will not do it. I will not submit. I cannot stand this. It's too much. I cannot do it. I cannot fulfill this duty. Well, that will happen. Sin fights hard. Sin rages. Sin wants to kill you. And when you find such a spirit in yourself, bring it to God and say, Lord, I don't have what it takes. I'm poor in spirit. I literally cannot do this. But Lord, you have said that it is you who works to will and to work in the hearts of your people. You've said that it is you who will write your law upon my heart. And so, Lord, I cannot write this law in my heart. Please meet with me now, because I have got nothing. I have no meekness. So please work in me, Lord, to make me willing. Lord, I believe. Help now my unbelief. And having laid that before the Lord, consider the truth of the matter. When we are confronted with the call to be meek, our hearts make a natural objection, you see. And the objection is this. Your heart will say to you, if I respond meekly, that person's going to walk all over me. They're going to tread me down. It's going to get three times worse than it is now. And it's all I can do. I have to fight. I have to hold on. Because if I don't, I'm done for. And they will absolutely slaughter me. My boss will go into overdrive if I don't resist him. My husband will wipe his feet all over my face. My wife will have a field day of criticism. My elders will make an absolute mess of this situation. We feel the need to fight for ourselves. And meekness feels completely counterintuitive. But what does the Word of God say? Imagine Moses. Well, he was very meek. But imagine if I was in Moses' situation, I wouldn't have been able to hold my tongue against Miriam and Aaron. I wouldn't have been able to stop myself springing into my own defense. But what says the Lord? The Lord says, blessed are the meek. Blessed. Blessed are the meek. Do you believe that? Responding with meekness at times is just a complete act of faith. I almost didn't want to say that because I know I'm going to have to preach it to myself later. But it is an act of faith. And as we respond meekly in a situation, this is what we are saying. We are saying, I trust you, Lord, because you told me that the meek will be blessed. I trust you, Lord, that as I refrain from seeking vengeance, you will deal with this situation. Because vengeance is yours, I will submit. And that may mean suffering for a season. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the meek, for they will be instantaneously relieved of suffering when they practice meekness. It's not a get out of jail ticket. No, let's read again in 1 Peter 3 and verse 19. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God one endures period of time, sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called. The suffering of meekness. To this we have been called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example so that we might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting, act of faith, entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And so God doesn't promise that your sufferings will evaporate when you pursue meekness, but he does promise this: blessed are the meek. And to this we have been called. And in the Lord's timing, he will deal with those who wrong us. He dealt with Miriam and Aaron, even graciously to them. And this light and momentary affliction will prove to be unworthy of any comparison with the glory that's to be revealed. The meek will inherit the earth. Vengeance. When you're tempted to vengeance, it promises a lot. It promises if you give this person what you think they deserve, it will shut them down and you will be on top and all the problems will stop. Vengeance always fails to deliver. But for those who entrust themselves to him who judges justly, God says to you, I will give the earth. And God does not fail on promises. Consider that promise. The meek shall inherit the earth. God does not bless the proud. God does not bless the boastful. God does not bless those who are self-willed. God does not bless the rebels. He blesses the meek, those who quietly submit to his will. And so in 2 Peter 3 verse 10, we read, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Now I take this to mean, not that the creation will be destroyed and obliterated, and that eternity will somehow be this pure realm of spiritual existence. No. We read elsewhere in Scripture that there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and that our bodies, even the bodies in which we find ourselves, will be resurrected. Now, I take this to mean that the current fallen order of creation will be purified by fire and renewed, and the new creation will be a plane of existence that we can scarcely even imagine. We see through a dim window, it says somewhere in Scripture. And so, just as our bodies, these bodies that we live in, will be resurrected and glorified, so the new creation, the new earth, will be resurrected and glorified. And who will inhabit this new earth? Well, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In closing, let me read to you from Psalm 37. And I think as we read this portion of the psalm, you'll see why many of the commentators take this beatitude to be based upon this psalm, Psalm 37. Let me read for you. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's meekness, isn't it? Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land. It's verse 11. And delight themselves in abundant peace. May God so strengthen us in his mercy, sinners though we be, weak and wounded, sick and sore, that we may grow in the grace of meekness. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, this spiritual heart quality of meekness, in some senses just feels utterly foreign to us. Oh Lord, we look at it as though it were the peak of some high mountain, and we think it's some place that we could never go. But Lord, it is you who has called us. Lord, if you had not called us, we would not even have submitted ourselves to come and call upon the name of Christ. But Lord, you have begun a good work in us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would cause the fruit of meekness to grow richly and abundantly in our lives. May there be such a harvest of meekness in this church that your name would be glorified and exalted. Lord, this is not some fruit that we can grow as though we were farmers in a field, but Lord, this is something your Spirit must do. And so we pray, O Lord, cause this fruit to abound. And Lord, when suffering and trials do come our way, whatever form it may take, Lord, help us to remember the things we've learned. Help us to step out in faith and meekness. O Lord, you alone can do this. Without you, we can do absolutely nothing. And so we pray, and we ask that you would hear this prayer and answer, that your kingdom may come, that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, protect us from the tempter's power. Tempt us, deliver us from temptations of the world around us, Lord. And let us fix our eyes upon you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.